This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, February 19th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, it turns out two Google searches cause about the same amount of greenhouse gases as heating up a cup of coffee. We'll get a report that companies are trying to find new ways to save energy virtually. We'll also check the forecast for Champaign-Urbana that includes some more snow, especially on the weekend. But first, a look at today's news. University of Illinois officials have been preparing for a rescission in state funding during the current fiscal year from 2.5% of 2009 funding to perhaps as much as 10%. But Governor Pat Quinn says he's going to try to deliver a budget plan next month with no rescission for higher education. During a visit to the U of I Urbana campus yesterday, Quinn said that given the state's estimated $9 billion shortfall, there are some tough decisions to make, but the governor said education was one of his priorities and that higher education was key to mending the Illinois economy.
It's important that we realize that jobs follow brain power. It's very, very important that we have great institutions like this one with enough resources to do their job, because they really are the key for our state to have a robust economy in the near term and in the long term.
Quinn said the U of I and other state institutions still had to adhere to the restrictions he's announced on state travel and spending, but he defended the university's spending on sustainable energy practices, saying it would save money in the long run. Quinn joined with U of I officials in signing the university up for the state's Sustainable University Compact, in which campuses pledged to follow sustainable practices. Quinn also said that new revelations about Senator Roland Burris's contacts with aides to former Governor Rod Blagojevich prior to his Senate appointment were troublesome. But Quinn did not call for Burris to resign. He said Burris should answer all questions from investigators about his contacts with Blagojevich aides about the Senate appointment and any fundraising done for Blagojevich's campaign fund. Meanwhile, Burris says the people of Illinois should give him the benefit of the doubt because of his long history of public service in the state. Robert Wildebor has that story.
Burris made an appeal yesterday to civic and business leaders attending a luncheon in Chicago.
Trust and relationships take time to build. But my record in Illinois goes back decades, as do my friendship with many of you in this room.
Burris is asking his friends to stop the rush to judgment. Demands for his resignation have been increasing since he revealed that he had tried to raise money for former Governor Rod Blagojevich last fall, while at the same time pitching himself as a potential replacement for Barack Obama in the Senate.
But I did not give one single dollar to the governor.
No one's suggesting he bought his way into the U.S. Senate. The concern is that he downplayed his contact with Blagojevich's office as he tried to win political support for his scandal-plagued appointment. Prosecutors are looking into whether he perjured himself in that attempt. I'm Robert Wildebor.
U.S. Representatives Jan Schakowsky and Phil Hare have joined a growing group of lawmakers seeking to replace Burris. The Democrats criticized him yesterday after accusations he wasn't entirely truthful when he testified before an Illinois House impeachment committee. Hare says Burris should resign, but he says the senator is not being entirely straight about his contacts with former Governor Blagojevich's staff before he was appointed senator. Schakowsky says the General Assembly should change state law to allow for a special election to replace Burris. Patty Blagojevich has been served with a federal subpoena seeking documents, notes, or emails related to people or entities ranging from former gubernatorial fundraisers to her real estate dealings. Attorney Raymond Pijon told the Chicago Sun-Times the wife of former Governor Rod Blagojevich is cooperating with federal investigators. However, Pijon said that does not mean she will flip on her husband. Blagojevich was removed from office January 29th after an impeachment trial by Illinois lawmakers triggered by his arrest on federal corruption charges. Patty Blagojevich was overheard on FBI wiretaps talking about alleged schemes involving firing an editorial writer at the Chicago Tribune in exchange for help with financing a Wrigley Field deal. She was overheard in an alleged plot for an appointment or job for herself in exchange for her husband appointing someone to the U.S. Senate seat. Only a few months after winning a rate hike from electric customers, Ameren says it needs another increase. The utility provides power and natural gas to much of the southern two-thirds of Illinois. Ameren says rising costs of supplies and credit are forcing them to approach state regulators again. Lee Morris is a spokesman for Ameren Illinois Utilities. He says the previous rate hike that took effect last October isn't covering the sudden rise in costs.
It is an 11-month process from the time that we file a case to the time that the Illinois Commerce Commission would give its final decision. And I think, as we all know, a lot can happen in an 11-month period.
Morris says Ameren hasn't decided how much to ask for or even when exactly to file the request, but he expects it to happen no later than the third quarter of this year. Illinois and the other states have responded to the nearly $800 billion economic stimulus bill, like children hurrying to check under the tree on Christmas morning. Illinois' gift is the promise of billions in federal money for a vast array of projects and programs, ranging from repairs of crumbling highways and schools to shoring up unemployment benefits. The National Governors Association and National Conference of State Legislatures say Illinois should pull in $8.8 billion in stimulus money. Other estimates vary by billions depending on assumptions and calculations. In amounts going to individual states, Illinois ranks sixth. Roughly where it ranks nationally in population, California is getting the most stimulus money at around $26 billion. For the latest newscast online, go to will.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bosser. One industry that's not suffering in the economic downturn is information technology. The demand for IT keeps growing, but that worries some people. Our growing number of internet searches and data storage is using a lot of energy. Julie Grant reports on how some companies are making their IT more environmentally friendly and saving money in the process.
By some estimates, two Google searches create the same amount of carbon dioxide as boiling water for a cup of tea. Most people don't think about the greenhouse gas emissions caused by their internet use, but there are about 200 million searches globally each day, and each search kicks a lot of servers into gear. It adds up. Albert Esser is an IT expert with Dell Computers. He says in just a few years, internet use could use 3% of the nation's energy supply. That's a lot of carbon pollution.
From a global greenhouse perspective, that's about the same as the airline industry will cause.
But Esser says computers don't need to use that much energy. Most computer systems are so inefficient today that they're wasting more than 90% of the energy they use. This is a data center. It's filled with racks and racks of servers. 100 different companies rent space here. Each company has its own set of servers to coordinate its email systems, word processing, online credit card transactions, all kinds of programs its employees and customers use. But data centers can be real energy hogs. They need electricity to run all those servers. That creates a lot of heat, so they also need air conditioning. One data center can use as much electricity as a good-sized town.
Here's the electricity in here. The piles of batteries that you see are attached to the uninterruptible power supply.
Brian Smith is marketing director for Expedient, which runs this and other data centers around the country. He says customers want computers to be fast, and that takes a lot of power. But he says the company does everything it can to cut down on energy usage at the data center.
It's obviously our best interest to be as efficient as possible because we're the ones paying the power bill.
So they've set up the server racks to make them easier to cool. They're also building a system to pull in cool air from the outside instead of using so much air conditioning. Some companies that use the data center are also starting to use software to create what are called virtual servers.
This rack here is a virtualization rack, so you've got one rack here that has 10 computers in it, right? So each one of these servers is equal to 16 physical servers.
And so for each of those virtual servers, they can turn off 15 actual servers. But even with all that saved space and energy, Expedient's data centers are growing faster than they ever anticipated. This one, built in Cleveland only 2 years ago, is just about sold out of space, so Expedient is building another data center next door. Albert Esser at Dell says the most environmentally friendly way to build a data center is not to build one at all. He says making better use of old centers with virtual computers and other energy efficiency measures produces a lot less pollution, and it saves money.
I think the economic downturn, as harsh as it sounds, is the best thing which ever could happen to green IT, because the economic pressures will make people think much harder to just build a new data center without changing the way they operate it.
So IT is learning what a lot of companies are learning. Going green can mean saving energy, and that's better for the bottom line. For the Environment Report, I'm Julie Grant.
Support for the Environment Report comes from the Park Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation. You can find more information and share your thoughts at environmentreport.org.
In our forecast for the region today, decreasing clouds, the high around 25 degrees, blustery, winds up to 25 to 30 miles an hour. Mostly clear skies tonight, the low around 14, mostly sunny tomorrow, the high around 35. Friday night, there's a chance of snow in the evening. That snow likely after midnight, several inches accumulation possible, the low around 22 degrees. Cloudy Saturday, a chance of snow, the high around 28, mostly cloudy Saturday evening, the low around 14. Partly cloudy Sunday and Sunday evening, with a high in the lower 30s, the low around 18. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, February 19th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.